again, friends. I'm Wayne Shepherd, your host on Encounter God's Truth from Whitcomb Ministries. We're marking 5 years of broadcasting by listening to a very personal rehearsal of God's grace and faithfulness in the lives of Dr. John and Mrs. Norma Whitcomb. Last week, we heard the first portion of an interview that Kim Whitcomb, the Whitcombs' daughter-in-law, conducted with Mrs. Whitcomb in front of a group of ladies this past June at the Colonial Hills Baptist Church in Indianapolis. It was part of the 96th annual meeting of the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship International, which focused on the teaching of biblical creationism. And these messages are part of our ongoing series on the Ark Encounter. We left off last time hearing about how Mrs. Whitcomb and her first husband, Robert Pritchett, were preparing for a lifetime of service in the Philippines with China Inland Mission, now known as OMF International. Well, little did they know what incredible changes, including trials, the Lord had in store for them. Yet, as you listen to the conclusion today, you'll hear how Mrs. Whitcomb is able to look back from her perspective now and see God's providential working in her life and family. I cannot think of any better way for us to remember God's goodness to us through these first 5 years of broadcasting Encounter God's Truth. So here now is Mrs. Whitcomb with the conclusion of her message called God's Brushstrokes on Canvas.
All right, so after much prayer, you and Robert were led away from Jungle Missions, and you were then accepted by the China Inland Mission.
Yes.
So your focus changed a little bit there.
Yes.
Eventually you were
all
sent
of that, and we didn't use it.
Yeah. Well, if you ever need to work on survival, you'll know what to do. You can teach us. Okay, so eventually you were sent to England and then Singapore through the China Inland Mission. And all that time, you didn't know this, but they were observing you and evaluating you so that they could figure out where you would best fit into their missions. And so you were given your first assignment, and they told you you were going to the Philippines. Do you remember how you and Robert felt when you heard that?
Yes, we were very happy, because before Robert and I ever knew each other, he felt that he wanted to go to Japan as a missionary, and his second choice was the Philippines. And I wanted to go to South America, and my second choice was the Philippines. You see, when we left the States, we did not know what field we were going to be assigned to until they observed us and fit us into a niche.
Okay. So there was a little bit of a delay before you were sent to the Philippines.
Oh, yes.
And during that time, you became pregnant and expecting your second son.
Yeah.
But it brought another opportunity for you as a couple to keep your head and your heart bowed before the Lord to know His will. Can you explain the situation?
Yes, because the China Inland Mission had a policy that you could only go to the field with one child. But they had extended the time we were to leave the States to go to the mission field. And guess what happened? I became pregnant. So here we are packing suitcases and barrels and things like that. And they didn't have to be very big barrels of suitcases, because we could only take 250 pounds. Now that's different than today, isn't it? But that was the way it was. But anyway, I'm packing, and we don't know if we're even going, because the mission had to take time to make a decision whether we were still eligible.
Okay. So you did go to language school, and you learned to speak Tagalog.
Yes.
And you can still speak that some today.
It's fun.
I've heard you in restaurants every now and then when you have a waitress from the Philippines. So you arrived in the Philippines. What was your first job that you had to do there?
What was
your first job at the Philippines?
Oh, we were down in the barrio, and there had been another missionary couple there, an older couple for some years, planting the seed, but there had been no salvation experiences for anybody. But when we got there as helpers, the Lord just opened it up, and there we started having meetings on the seashore, on the sand of the seashores, and some people were saved at that time, and it started then that we had a little group, a church, and that's what we did for our first 5 years on the mission field, taught and got established, learned more of the language, and prepared to stay there forever until the Lord called us home, or we got too old and they sent us home.
So after those first 5 years, they sent you to another part of the Philippines, though.
Yes.
And your job and focus kind of changed a bit.
Quite a bit.
And you really enjoyed that part of ministry.
Exactly. Then we were able to do what we wanted to do more than anything else. We were both very involved in education, and we wanted to be teachers on the mission field. Of course, I'd already been a teacher. And so that opened up to us. And the next point was that when we went back from our first furlough, we were assigned to a Bible institute and seminary, and that's where we spent our next 6 years. And we were just so happy. I mean, we walked across the campus. We could look out of our door. I mean, we were in our house and could walk, see the students walking across the campus, talking about them, planning our next opportunities to minister to them in some way besides just classroom. And we had the most wonderful experience because we were teaching young people to do a job. And it extended us. Every young person we taught was us out there doing the same thing, you could see. Mm-hmm. So the Lord was gracious and gave us the very depth of our heart's desire.
Mm-hmm. What was the most difficult experience on the mission field?
Oh, well, we had two children. And they were coming of age to go to school. And our mission had another policy. We loved the mission. We had no problems with it, but they had policies. This is an old mission. You know what it's like, some of you. When your children became age to go to school, they were sent away to the mission school. And that meant it was so far away that they didn't live home. They lived in the school. Our older son, 6 years old, six and a half, went away to school. 3 months not seeing my son. That was tearful, too. As the next son, at five and a half, I didn't see. I couldn't wrap his birthday presents, couldn't make a birthday cake, I couldn't tuck them in bed at night, and on it goes. They'd come home for 1 month, 3 months away, 1 month home, around the calendar. When they'd leave, oh, we had such a good time, but I still had to do my teaching. I was a teacher at the school. I still had my responsibilities, but we worked in a lot of nice little things along the way. But when it came time for them to leave, this little trunk that we had taken with us became their toy trunk and the clothes that they would wear when they came home. I had to pack that trunk, and it was as though I had put my little boys in a coffin. And I cried you can imagine. And I want to read to something to you here. Because of that time, God gave me this song that I would try to sing while I was crying, but the words were there anyhow. And I'm only going to read one verse and the chorus, but just put just think, when you are going through trial yourselves, think of this wonderful verse as a song. It's in the hymnal here at our church, page 149. He giveth more grace when our burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength as our labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials is multiplied peace. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. Think of it, women, when we're going through a hard time. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. You know, we forget. That's peace. Isn't that peace? And I have, if I can find it in a hurry here, I came across a beautiful definition of peace as a Christian. Peace is God's gift of unruffled quietness. Peace is a gift of God's unruffled quietness. Can you feel that? Can you feel it? Which defies the crushing circumstances of life. Don't we have a lot to praise God for?
Okay, it's through those conflicts and trials that the Lord really grows His character in us, doesn't He? Okay, so we're going to have to fast forward here. You and Robert are sent back to the U.S. To further your education for the seminary there in the Philippines. And through much prayer and seeking God's guidance, you end up in Winona Lake with your husband attending Grace Seminary.
Yes.
And you were just there a short time, and all of a sudden the Lord has a life-changing, altering brushstroke that He puts across your canvas. Can you quickly tell us what happened that night when you got the knock on the door?
Yes. My husband was in seminary. We were both getting higher degrees to go back to the field so that the school could be accredited. And he went out to seminary to jog, as he always did, out of the house to jog in the night, in the evening. Am I making sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was a bad one.
You're good.
Anyway, and he went out, as he said, I'll be back in 15 minutes, which was the normal. He had tucked the boys in bed and everything. And this is in the middle of the night, because he was a very studious student, and all of a sudden, when he left, I flopped on bed and fell asleep. About 2 hours later, people came to my door, four people, to tell me, and then came in the house to tell me that my husband had died, had fallen, had a heart attack, and was with the Lord. That crashed our plans, naturally. We were just home to study, go back, and stay where we'd like to be.
What was your response to them when they said that to you?
I can't believe that this was my response, but it was all of the Lord. Because I told you before, I'm no saint. I said, God does all things well. That's what He assured me at that very moment, that I needed to be lifted up.
So here you were at the age of 44, a widow, mm-hmm. and two sons,
yes.
11 and 13.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Someone had to tell the boys that their daddy is now with Jesus. And you were the one who tell them that next morning.
When it was time for them to get up, I went to their room and I said, Daddy said he'd be in to get you to wake you up this morning, but he won't be in today. He's in heaven with Jesus. There were tears, of course, but there was that peace again that we just talked about in that room.
How did you handle your grief during those next few months and years?
I was so busy trying to keep everything going, and I had to pack, and I had to go from one side of the
Winona Lake.
Yes, from Winona Lake back to Kansas, and because that's where my husband's family lived, and not to be with them, but my boys needed some help. They needed some real close companionship, mm-hmm. and their cousins were there. Mm-hmm. And oh, there was another reason too. I had started my master's degree, and I started it in the summers over in Kansas, so I had to go back and complete my master's degree after that. Mm-hmm. So there were reasons to move ahead.
Okay. So while you were there, you finished your master's degree, and you were also given the opportunity to start an art department at a local high school. And so you were very busy handling those two things, raising the boys, plus taking care of your home.
I didn't have time to grieve.
Yes,
I did grieve. I did grieve a lot. Nights were hard. I worked hard during the day, but at night it was different. And I would read a whole book of the Bible. I'd go over it, and I'd pour out my heart before the Lord. I had to get up the next morning and go and teach at a Christian high school. And it was full. But God was with me every step of the way, and I knew it. I wouldn't dismiss that from anybody, my mind, for a moment. And that's where he always is. He's with us all the way, all the time.
You've always been a woman of the word, and you were very disciplined, and you had a good foundation to stand on during that trial.
Mm-hmm.
And you were in the word, and the word was in you,
that's right.
You like to say.
That's how it happened.
And that's so important that we are in his word, learning it. So when those times come, we can look to his promises and assurances. Okay, so summer is there. The boys go off to Colorado to work on a ranch. And you go back to Winona Lake to work at a camp as a counselor.
Yes.
You get there, the camp has been canceled. They didn't tell you, but the Lord had another plan in mind. So, well, quickly, we only have about 5 minutes left. So, quickly, you can explain. Dr. Whitcomb calls you, and he has something he wants to share with you. What was that?
I was going back to Winona Lake to be a counselor in this camp, but God had other plans. And Dr. Whitcomb heard that I was in Winona Lake, and he called me and said that he wondered if I would go for on a jaunt with him. I didn't know how to dress. I had no idea. But I said yes. He came and got me in the car. We went down the highway, and he said, I want to talk to you about something. And I thought, since his wife had, he was one of the four people who stood in my home that night and told me that the Lord had taken my husband. Now, in the meantime, his wife had died. And I thought, we have something in common, and we're just going to have a chat. The chat wasn't what I expected. uh, As we drove down, he said to me, we'd had a conversation, I don't remember, I don't know all that, but he said to me, you know, before Sini, and that was his wife's name, went to be with the Lord, she said, Norma, that she would like you to be the mother of our four children.
In your reply?
Well, I didn't expect that. I wasn't looking for a husband. I was going back to the mission field. But I got a mission field right in our house. I don't know what we talked about, but anyhow, it came out that before that talk was over, he had really proposed to me, and I said yes.
Well, this is amazing to me because you had told me that you said yes, you would try for Sini.
Yes, I said yes, I'll try to be the mother of your four children. So, I didn't go back across the seas, but I had a mission field right in our home. Four, my two, his four, who were hurting tremendously. And I said, that's my mission field. And you know what? It was my mission field. Here, a few years ago, we had a family reunion. And we came to this church, sat down in the pews. It took two long pews. That's how we'd grown. That was my mission field because nearly every single one, well, I guess every single one, claims salvation. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what God will do. He did it. It's all of Him. His grace is sufficient for every need. Don't remember me, remember God's grace in your own life. When you need it, it's there. He's always there.
So we're brushing through quite a few details we don't have time to share. We wanted to talk a little bit about blending families because that is a huge topic these days. But just in conclusion, Mom and Dad started Whitcomb Ministries. Mom is still involved in ministry by writing blogs on that website. So you feel free to get on our website and you can read her blogs. And you're reaching out to your grandchildren and really trying to be involved with them and mentoring other women as well.
Yeah.
I do have to say one thing in conclusion here. I know you're not going to want me to say this, but I know you want to hide behind the cross. Today. But you have been the backbone behind the ministry, behind the family, just holding life together and allowing others to successfully fulfill the calling in their life, especially for Dad. And it just doesn't quite seem right not to make that known. And you are an amazing woman. God has gifted you with many talents.
Amazing God.
Yes.
Amazing God.
Yes. But you cooperated with Him. And He has created a beautiful masterpiece on your campus. So thank you, Mom, for just your example. And thank you for just responding to God's brushstrokes on your canvas in a way that brought Him honor and glory.
Well, that is an amazing testimony to the Lord's blessing and faithfulness over many years through good times and difficult times. As Kim Whitcomb stated to her mother-in-law, Norma Whitcomb, He has created a beautiful masterpiece on your canvas. What a powerful reminder that God's Word is true from the beginning to the end. Whitcomb Ministries expresses its sincere gratitude to both the Fundamental Baptist Fellowship and Colonial Hills Baptist Church for allowing us to share this presentation here on Encounter God's Truth. To learn more about what God has done and continues to do for and through our efforts, visit WhitcombMinistries.org, and from there, go to sermonaudio.com/Whitcomb, where you can browse through our complete library containing all 5 years' worth of programs from this broadcast. You'll also find quite a bit of material from Mrs. Whitcomb, but you're especially invited to visit the home of her writing ministry at windowforwomen.blogspot.com. We close today with a reading from Psalm 86. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart, and I will glorify your name forever. For great is your steadfast love toward me. You have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol. Once again, for Dr. John and Mrs. Norma Whitcomb, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to Encounter God's Truth.